All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the podcast. We got my guy, Derek Liu, owner of Soul Supremacy. What's going on, my guy?
Chilling.
Another day, living the dream.
Another day, another dollar.
They won't know, but this is our second go at it. Yeah. So we had to start over. We already talked about some game. But let's just do a quick rapid fire recap. I wanted to introduce my guy properly. Derek, he's the owner of Soul Supremacy. I always looked at, when I looked at the business I wanted to build with sports cards, I always looked at a few people. One of them definitely was Soul Supremacy, because in the Bay Area where I'm from, when it was time to sell some sneakers, or if you wanted to sell some shoes and you were thinking like, hey, where do you go? Who's going to buy them? The first name and the first company that always came to mind was Derek at Soul Supremacy. So I thought like, yo, I want to be like that, but for sports cards. And I forgot to tell you this, but people actually said like, yo, you're like the Soul Supremacy sports cards. And I took that as like the greatest compliment, because like, I'm just in awe and super, I admire what you've built, man. So thank you for taking the time to come on and share your knowledge.
No, I appreciate being here. And, anytime that you get love or you hear our name and like it's going together, like I appreciate that too, because you know I like to see and aspire that people that I know is just doing it and they just grind it.
Love it, man. And can you just talk a little bit about how you started sneaker reselling? Like what was your origin story?
Long story short, the second time around, lost my job, looked at my closet. I was like, I need to sell some shoes just to keep up with the bills without dipping into the savings. Started selling my shoes on Craigslist and eBay. And over time, I realized like, hey, this is doing pretty good. I'm getting more money than I bought the shoes for. And even some I wore them and I still got more. And then I thought to myself, like, hey, there's other people out in this world, especially in the Bay, because we all love sneakers, especially back in that era. It's like, there's people just like me. They are selling their shoes for a reason. And back then, you just love shoes. It's not about the price. It's not about the value. It's just, you just love shoes. So if you're selling it, you're selling it to pay rent, buy a car, put a down payment on a house or whatever, whatever. So I started reaching out to people that were posting their shoes on Craigslist and be like, hey, you have this listed for 20 pairs for X amount, like I'll give you this and I'll buy them all. And can we work out a deal? And most of the time it was a yes, especially back in those days. And then I would in turn just resell it back on Craigslist and eBay and just keep the wheel turning. Buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell, reinvest the money, buy, sell, buy, sell. And then I did that for a couple years. And then after that, my friend asked me if he wanted to open a store, and we did, and it kind of just snowballed from there. And 14 years later, we're still doing the same things we were doing then. And it's been a wild ride.
One thing that I really struggled with at the beginning, because I mean, like you mentioned, sneakers are a hype thing. Sports cards are a hype thing. At the end of the day, a lot of us are just collectors at heart, right? So you want to be holding on to something, having like opened up your Zion case and seeing the collection of cards, opening up your closet, seeing all the shoes like lined up perfectly. How did you not get into that trap, which I fell into early on, which was having everything tied up, all your cash flow, all your capital tied up in inventory because you loved the inventory? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But I guess I have the same thing with shoes, is like, if it ain't your size, you ain't going to wear it. Yeah. So with like sports cards, it's like, oh, I like this player, I like that player. You could like a whole lot of stuff and you could get engulfed in all these different players. Where the shoes, I mean, shit, long story short too, when we first opened the store, like I wore a size 10, 10 and a half, like 70% of the store was 10, 10 and a half, because it was like my stuff and like, stuff I had. So, and then of course we branched out and got more and more and more. But I mean, to me it's like desperate times come for desperate measures, and all these things are materialistic at the end of the day. So for me, it's like, for me to start my business, I already broke that path of like, I broke my collection to start my business. So for me, it was like, I was never feeling like I was missing out, because I already went through that first phase of selling them to sustain my lifestyle, of to pay my bills because I had no job. So for me, the attachment was already gone since day one, where I decided like, I'm not going to collect shoes anymore and I'm going to sell. Because that's just what it took for me to to make it.
Even now, as 14 years in the game, is your shoe closet super minimal, or are you still like, you know,
my shoe game is weak.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah, it's weak, bro. It's weak.
You rather have dollar bills, yeah?
I refuse to keep anything brand new anymore.
Yeah.
So before we used to say like rock one, stock one. I bought two pairs on release. I wore one. The other one I put in the closet for a later day. But most likely that later day never came and it just stayed new. So now if I don't wear it, I refuse to keep it. And I also tend to rock now whatever's comfortable. Like where before is like style can almost trump comfort because it was just cool. But for me, being over 40 now, got kids walking around Disneyland, it's like style is minimal. Like, I mean, I still want it to be clean. Like, I'm not going to wear a dirty pair of kicks and stuff like that. But comfort for me is number one.
That's crazy, man. You know, that's part of getting older. Like, I hit that midlife crisis too, bro. Like, I get it, man. You know what I mean? We leave certain things behind. I get it, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I asked you earlier, I think that this is on the last version, but could you talk a little bit about the similarities or differences? Like, what do you see between sneakers and sports cards?
I mean, number one is they're both driven by hype. Mm-hmm. Whatever is the hottest shoe out, that's all the celebs are wearing it, then that's what everybody wants. Cards, the hottest player, mm-hmm. newest player, everybody wants it. And then kind of like shoes, like it can get played out. So like this player can get played out if he starts having bad games, he's not winning, not making it to the playoffs. It's just like they're over with. I think with sports cards, it happens way faster than with shoes, because fashion takes a long time to change. It changes. Fashion always changes, but it takes a long time. Where just like in cards, like Brock Purdy, if he wins the Super Bowl, his cards are the hottest thing in the world. He loses,
right.
They're down. And I think with sports, it's more tied to emotion though. Like with cards, you have an emotional attachment because you're watching like an athlete play live. I mean, even if he's retired, like you have these core memories of what this person meant to me when I was a kid or even as an adult. Where I think like shoes, even though there are people that have the emotional connection, it's almost like just based on whatever the trending style is. Cause like one thing that was cool 5 years ago is not cool now, but
right.
Michael Jordan is going to be cool for the next 100 years.
Like, yeah, 100%.
And that's just how it is. But it's just, like you said, it's just for you in terms of your business, just keep that cycle going, keep it going. Just, you're not holding anything because your business, you're not a holding company.
Exactly.
You're a seller. You're a flipper. I mean, if you want to use that word, like I flip shoes, like I resell. Like I've never, like there's people that will always have negative things to say about us. Sure. Oh, you're not for the culture, or you're not for this. Not, it's like, you don't know who I am inside, bro. Like, mm-hmm. you don't know what I've done, what I've gone through, what I've done in my past. Like, you just think like, oh, all resellers are bad. Like, if I'm not doing it, somebody else is going to do it.
Yep.
But at least I'm doing it with the most integrity and just the most thought outful way that I think is correct. You might not think it's correct. They might not think it's correct. But it's like, I can go to sleep at night because I know I run a solid business.
Correct.
So, I mean, I used to a lot. I mean, it's calmed down a lot, but I used to reply to like everybody that hates. I'd be like, oh, you lowball this or whatever. And I was like, okay, if I offer this, let me see you offer more because I'll sell you my shit for more.
Correct.
Like, you know, correct. Like you think it's so easy, then you buy it for what you want me to buy it for and then you go flip it.
Correct.
Like it's just... Everyone,
the math ain't mathing. You got
to it is what it is. It's all part of the business. It's part of life. It took me a while to not be so sensitive about those things, but like I always want to defend my honor. That's how I always felt. Like I'm gonna defend who I am. I'm gonna tell y'all straight up, and like I'm the prime person when like get into arguments. Like you guys, my wife. I just like the last. I like the last word. Like you know. Like you know. Afterward, I'll hit the block button or whatever. But I'm gonna send the last tweet and be like, block. And it is what it is. But I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm still working on it. But yeah, back in the days, I used to get into it.
That's good to know that you're still doing that, because me even now, like, you know, I'm a little more social out there than you, I guess, with the YouTube and all that. But I'm like driving down, you know, the road with my wife, and I got my phone out, and I'm showing her. I'm like, look at this shit right here. Look at this. Can you believe this guy? You know what I mean? So I take it to heart, because I'm like you, like, I just want to run a good business. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I just want to be known. Like, I want my reputation to precede me. And for the most, I believe it has. You know what I mean? Like, man of my word, always make it right. If I tell you I'm gonna be at Mars, I'm gonna find a way to get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, just trying to be that type of person. So when someone comes along and like, if you disagree with how I do things, that's fine. But when they just straight up lie, I'm like, bro, like, come on, man. Like, saying I offered this, saying I was there, I wasn't even there. Like, come on, man. Now we're just like talking. You know what I mean? And it's like I created this this thing on my Instagram post, because I'm so petty. Like, I bought like a cup of coffee, and I put the name, I made it say YouTube tears, you know what I'm saying?
Because
at the end of the month, YouTube always sends me a small check, and then I feel like that check that I get, 3% of that money came in from people that didn't like what I did. So I'm gonna take that money and go buy a cup of coffee, and it's the best tasting cup of the month, you know what I mean? Like, that's how petty I am. But I digress, I'm trying to get better. But
yeah, I got a petty story from one of my partners. I forgot exactly the context of it, but like, some dude complained or whatever. He made an order and like, he complained and like, so much crying or whatever. My partner DoorDashed him a Snickers. Like, legit, didn't say nothing, just DoorDashed him with like a message, like, here's a Snickers, bro. Like, you have that commercial goes. Well, I was like, bro, want
to get away, or like,
no, it's like the like, you know how they change their personality?
You're not the same. Bro, that's crazy. I'm gonna have to use that one, because you got their address too. That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, you got their address, and he sent them the Snickers. I was like, bro, you crazy, dog.
And then what happened after that? Was that just like, was that mic drop? You can't come back after
that? Yeah. I don't think the dude said nothing after that.
Because
I think he messaged him. He's like, hey, DoorDash on the way or something like that. And then he's like, got a sticker. I was like, dude, you crazy.
Bro, that's wild. But yeah, to your point, man, people don't really like it. You know, the social media thing and got everyone thinking this is easy to do. This is easy as, quote unquote, lowballing somebody and selling it for more. But man, there's so much more that goes beyond that. If it was that easy, everybody would do it.
It is. You know what I mean? And they just, they're not down for the behind the scenes
correct
work. And they just see the end result or whatever. Or they just, and everyone, sometimes they just sit there and they wonder. They're like, oh, how do they do this? How are they getting this? And how are they doing that? That's all it boils down to, and willing to put in the time, you know. And then at the same time, for you, is like, put yourself out there, you know. I mean, honestly, like, to be successful in cards, or even just say like a store, like, we're lucky because we started so long ago, so like, our reputation is built over 14 years. But all these new sneaker stores that are popping up, but they don't do social like you do for cards, or I mean, because we hardly do social anymore. We're not really big into it. But all these stores that aren't doing social that are new, they're set to fail, because they just don't have that following. They're not generating enough business to pay the rent and to hire a staff and stuff like that. And it's kind of sad at the same time. But like, in today's world, to be successful, you got to put yourself out there. And that's something that I see you doing all the time, which is, it's great.
Would you say, I know, like, back in the day before the internet, like, the big thing they said to succeed as a business was location, location, location. You know what I mean? Is it social?
Social before location. I mean, you still want to be central, though, to your business. Like, so when I say that, like, I don't know what Bay Area town is like, the boonies or like, just say you don't want to live like in Novato. Yeah. And then all your customers are in SF and Oakland and Union City. Like, they're not going to make that drive. You're not going to make that drive. So, like, you have to be central enough to your customers. But the location doesn't have to be like, oh, it's on the corner and everybody sees it that drives by. Because, like, our customers don't just drive by. Like, they're coming to us for a reason. they're not just like passerbyers like walking by. Like that's more for like food and restaurants and stuff that like needs that. I don't even want to know what to say the word is, but like just needs that impulse mm-hmm. customer. Like we don't need that impulse customer. We just need a direct customer that knows exactly what we're doing, and they know we know what they're doing, and we're all on the same page. Because I mean, I tell people all the time, like we're in Newark, California. Like nobody comes on vacation here. Mm-mm. Like nothing. Like mm-mm. you know, like if
that,
we were
that mall is dead too.
Yeah.
No reason like, to go over there.
If we were like in San Francisco, I could say like the location matters.
Yeah,
because you want to be near like the highest traffic areas and stuff like that. But like for us, like where we're at, like it doesn't really matter what we do. It doesn't really matter.
Do you move a lot of inventory from your location? Like in terms of like from like in-person transactions, or is it all just intake it, use that spot as an intake and then move it all via?
Yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, since we've been open, like we've intake has always been like 90% in the store. We get like 10% of our stuff from shipments, probably even less, probably like 5% from shipments. And then sales wise, we probably do 95% online and 5% in store. So it's completely the opposite. And that's why also like, I mean, over the years in the beginning, we had like displays and nice stuff. And I mean, as nice as we could get it. But over the years, we've pretty much adapted to our model of just we buy everything in here and we sell everything online. It just makes it easier. We don't have to display 1,000 shoes. Not that there's anything wrong with the stores that do display it, but it's just a ton of more work that goes into it. A lot of labor to have that kind of store. But I think that ties into location. So if you're in a location like, just say like Urban Necessities, who's in Vegas, like mm-hmm. he's in one of the highest traffic malls ever. He can't have a store with no shoes on the wall. He has to put everything out because that's just the ambience that he sits in his store and how people go into shop. But like I said, for us, it's like we're just a destination for people to sell pretty much. And I mean, yeah, we do have buyers and stuff like that, but the traffic doesn't deem the need for us to do all those extra stuff.
And you never even wanted to like venture down that path of being like a Cool Kicks or a Common Hype or Urban Necessity, like opening that storefront in like, I don't know, like Valley Fair, which like the higher end malls over here. And because you go in there and you can raise your price. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they mark up, but wouldn't you want to do something like that?
I mean, for me, it's like life has always been number one priority. And then when you go into a mall, you're like owned by the mall. You own the store, right. But you're owned by the mall. Like when I say that, I mean like malls open 9 to 9, you're open 9 to 9.
Right.
And 7 days a week. Like Valley Fair, I don't even think they allow you to close like on weekends or anything like that. Like they're super strict. Like you open 7 days, 3 hours. And for me, I just never wanted to be controlled by somebody in terms of my time. We could hire more people and do more stuff, but that just adds more stress. And then the higher rent just adds more pressure. And for me, it's just like once I got comfortable making enough where I could like pay a mortgage and take care of my kids and like enough is enough. And I'm not saying that's wrong or that's right, like, but I just never wanted, I didn't need an exuberant amount of money over to like have those goals to like open a crazy store or whatnot. And I was also believe too, like, I mean, he has a lot of consignment, but I believe it's much harder. It's like, cause I always try to think from the customer's perspective, like if I have 100 pairs of shoes and I'm trying to sell it to you, am I going to go to a strip mall where I could just walk like how our store is like in a little strip mall. Like I could just park outside, bring my shoes right in. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're deep in the Valley Fair Mall, how am I going to get my 100 pairs into you?
Right.
Like
right.
Dolly walking across the mall. Like it always seemed like, a nightmare for the customer. Like for me, I wouldn't have cared if the shoes get to me, they get to me. But as a customer, like I always felt like that might make customers uncomfortable bringing like hundreds of pairs of shoes into a mall. Or you have to arrange like other forms of pickup and stuff like that. So we probably could have done it at one point in time, but to me it was just the juice was never worth the squeeze.
Right. Yeah. And you're kind of like leveraging the whole like, I mean the whole like e-commerce thing, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just changing the game for everybody, you know what I mean? Like sports cards too, like for me, why open a sports card shop when I can just stream for 2 hours and just move through, you know what I mean? Inventory that way, you know what I mean?
I see you on your thing, you have your little office and you have your appointments, and that's how you bang out, that's how you get your inventory. And then you have all the time. To me, that's perfect, especially for you and your niche of how you're moving. Because you don't have to go out and find all the inventory that can come to you. And then it's just once you run the appointment times, like, you know, it's not free for all where anybody comes whenever. 100%. You just got to go with whatever's working for you, and you're going to make mistakes and you're going to make things that's like, oh, Stab, I should have done that 6 months ago or whatever, but it's all part of the process.
Most of the way you guys get your inventory now is all through you guys don't hit up the sneaker cons, the Got Souls, you don't do anything of that like that anymore?
We haven't done it for probably at least 5 years. We're considering doing a sneaker con if they come to the Bay, or like LA, but we don't do it if there's travel. It just takes a lot of time and effort to go out and do that. And the way I see it is like, if we go out somewhere for a couple of days, like that inventory could have just came to our store at the same time. So like, if we're closed to go buy this as income, like we didn't necessarily have to do that because this inventory is going to come in to our store anyway.
Do you think you could have got more like a weekend Bayer got sold or sneaker con or whatever, and then a weekend at your shop? You think you could have gotten, it would have been equal in terms of how much inventory you got from one to the other?
A sneaker con, we could probably get a little bit more. But it's just a lot more logistics of loading it, unloading it, going to buy it, getting cash, because no one there likes paying. At least in the sneaker world, everybody, cash is king, and they want cash at the shows and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, same thing. It all comes down to, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is our time worth it if we're okay? But we did it a lot in the year, like 5, 6, 7 years ago, but only in like the Bay Area one.
And you were always, I think you mentioned to me, you were always known as the guy, the company that would buy everything, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't cherry pick it.
I mean, people can. I mean, we do now more so than before, but it's just based on like condition. So if they're brand new, never be turned away. Never. Yeah. But it's just if it gets to the point where it's too worn beyond like what we want to clean or we think is something that somebody won't want to buy, then we kind of push it away. Years ago, I mean, our first like 7, 8 years ago, it didn't matter. We took everything, even the most beat stuff, because we had more buyers for it back then. But now the buyer pool for that kind of stuff has slowed. So we're kind of picky on that. But I mean, somebody could bring us 1,000 pairs of brand new, we're straight. We'll take it all.
Is that not commonplace in like sneaker companies then and like sneaker resale companies now? Like, you know what I mean? Like to be able to, because I'm kind of trying to like learn game right now. I wanted to be the guy that, yo, I'll buy everything. Like I'm not just buying the Downtowns, the Kabooms, the RPAs. Yeah. I'm buying Raw. I'm buying Wax. Nobody wants, but the price has to make sense for me. You know what I mean? Is that something that's like, was it a competitive advantage that you had back then and now?
Yeah. I mean, like, because nobody wants to be told like, I only want some of your stuff. Like as a seller, like, you know, like our thing was like, let's give the customer the best experience possible. And if that means taking this stuff that we don't really want, but it means that this deal is done and then the next deal they do is going to be done. And after that, and they're going to keep coming back because we're not like that. Like we're not like the store that says, I want 1, 2, 3, but 4 through 10 take home. We've done it at times for like stuff that's just way too beat. And even seeing the customer's face is just like, they're disappointed because they needed the money for whatever reason that they needed for. That's why we've always tried to be our best at just taking everything, regardless if we wanted it or not. And it worked out. Lately, as the business has slowed and things have changed, like we have to be more picky with the ultra worn stuff, but anything brand new, anything excellent, like it's game. And same for you. I think there's a lot more opportunity in terms of profit and just basically not having to invest as much in dealing with the stuff that a lot of people don't want to deal with. So like you saying, you don't want to go for the hype stuff and stuff, because everybody on the hype stuff wants close to top, or they want 90%,
and rightfully
or
so, because five people want to buy it. So you charge whatever the market will bear. So it makes sense. You know what I mean? Who was going to ask? Oh, there's one thing I want to get this documented before I forget. We didn't talk. We talked last February. I think the first time we talked and the last time we talked was like last February. I came, you know, you wanted to sell me some like a whole shoebox full of stuff.
Then
we didn't talk until this February. And hold on, let me get my phone. I got to pull up this text message from you, bro. This is shocking to me, because we accomplished more in two text messages than most people accomplish in like 30 DMs back and forth.
I mean, I like to get straight to the point. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I like that,
like,
man.
Like, you, just you straight, said, straight shoot.
I said, you said, he said, yo, this is Derek from Seoul. Just want to inquire if you be so, and we'll talk about this more later, but just want to inquire if you be so on and so forth, da da da. You want this, you want that. I was like, bet, doing boom, boom, that, and that's it. And then I remember just showing my wife, I was like, look at this message. We got so much done in two text messages. Like, you know what I mean? Like, straight to the point, man. Have you always been that way, or is that something that you picked up business?
I hate the back and forth.
Yeah.
That's just something I hate. And that's why also since like day one, I mean, you go through it. I think you go through it more in cars than I do in shoes. But like, I just like giving the customer and say they bring in 20 pairs. My numbers, just for number's sake, it's $1,000.
Yeah.
That's it. $1,000. They're like, oh, can you do 12? No, $1,000.
Like, oh, you don't even come up a little bit.
No. It's like, I'm a straight shooter. But also at the same time, if this person were to come in and say like, oh, I want 800, I'm giving him $1,000.
Interesting, huh?
Because like, my number is my number. I don't care if you wanted more or if you wanted less. Mm. Like, I'm just going to give you my number because that's it. Like, you walk, like, the person that wanted less is going to be like, oh, shit. Thank you. And then they're going to come back again.
For sure.
And then the person that wanted more, I mean, they might accept, they might not. But I tell them straight up, like, if you walk out of my store, I'm okay. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to come running back for you. Like, okay, I'll give you your 1200 because that means I was trying to get over on you.
Right, right.
Like, and that's it. Like, I don't want you to feel like you're getting, because if I offered you 1000, then all of a sudden, magically, 5 seconds later, okay, let's do 12. Like, that means I'm trying to do something shady. In my eyes, that's just how I think. Yeah. Like, so my number is my number, and that's how always I've been with customers. Is like, I mean, if you bring in, just say like, just say you have a collection for like 100,000, and I offer you 100, and you're like, I want 1-on-1. Okay, maybe. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's so much of like of quantity. Like, okay, maybe we could talk. That's a maybe though. It's not
one,
for sure.
It's 1%. It's not 10%.
Yeah, 20%, yeah. But when the dudes are like 1,000, I want 1,200. Like, but our number is our number because we just don't like the haggling of back and forth, and like it just adds so much more. At least for my case, and you might not be there, but like it adds much more stress.
Correct.
To my day. And or my guy's days, like when they're dealing with the customer and they're like, ah, oh, come on, let me get this, let me get that. It's just, we just tried to eliminate the haggle experience as much as possible.
Yeah. I tell you what, brother, that Seoul Supremacy YouTube channel won't be too popping if there's no negotiation. it's just gonna be damn. That was, I'm watching all these guys like popping hype and all them, and they're like, $5, no, $15, no, $20, no, flip this. I'm like, all right, let's go with that. Yeah, the Seoul Supremacy YouTube video just get straight to the point, bro.
They'll be like, this guy's a dickhead, but I'm just like, you know, but like, once they hear like my understanding of it, because I'll explain it to the customer too. Like, because they'll be like, I'm like, this is where I'm at, man. Like, we can shake hands and we'd be good. But if you say no, I'm not going to chase after you because I know I put my best foot forward.
Right.
And I'm fair.
Whether it's more than what you wanted or less than what you wanted.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
so how does that work? Someone comes in. I come in with 20 pairs of shoes.
Yep.
Are you asking me how much I want for them? Or are you looking through and saying, here's what the number is?
Every negotiation or every deal, I don't want to say even negotiation.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you negotiate.
But everything is different. Because some people, I would say at least 70% email for a quote before they come in. Mm-hmm. So they'll be like, I have this, then how much you guys offer? And then we'll send the number, like, oh, 2K, 1500, 2500. And they'll be like, all right, I'll be in Thursday. Bring it in, check off the list, make sure everything's there. We're good. Money sent. Then there's people that come in and want to sell in the store. We'll ask them if they got a pre-quote. They'll say, no, I did. I just brought it in. We'll look it over, and then we'll make them offer. But sometimes we'll ask, like, what do you want? If it's, say, like, a shoe from, like, 2005 that hasn't sold for a year. So it's, yeah, like, what is the true market? And, like, what is the real number that they want to be? Because some people, just out of experience, we know they're going to want too much.
Right.
And it's just, and if, and then, like, so just say, like, just say something I think is worth 500, right? And I'll be like, yo, Keen, like, how much do you want for this? And you're like, they go for this. I'll take like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Then my answer is just like, all right, it's good. Don't worry about it. You, I'm not interested. Like, you keep the shoe. I respect how you value it, but yeah, I'm just not the buyer for you. Because in my mind, I'm at 500, but I wanted to hear your thoughts too. Correct. And we're just worlds apart.
Yeah.
So there's no point.
What's your number, Derek? Do you even say, yeah, like, oh, I was at 500? Because do you even say that?
No, I'm like, most of the time, I'm just like, I don't want to disrespect you. Like, yeah, like, I understand this shoe means so much to you, or you have this certain value in this shoe, but I just don't see it that way. And that's okay that we have a difference in opinion. And sometimes they ask, and I mean, I'll tell, if they really want to know, I'll tell them. And then, like, and then I'll try, every time I do that, like, I try to give them some kind of proof or reasoning,
sure,
of why I'm where I'm at. And then it's up to them to decide. But if, like, if I know we're worlds apart, I don't want, because for me, like, I just never want to offend anybody either.
Correct.
Like, and that's one of my things. Like, I just know where you're at. I don't want to offend you, so I'm not even going to say anything.
Correct.
I'm just going to pass, because no, I don't want no bad blood. Or, like, that's the one you get the people that go on Twitter and be like, this guy lowballed me. Like,
yeah.
But it's like, bro, I was respectful, because that shoe, like, you think it's not a shoe that sells every month, every day of the, yeah, year. It's, yeah, like, that shoe hasn't sold in 2 years.
Yeah.
And like just say, like, the last sale is 400. Now it's 2 years ago, but, like, the highest someone, I mean, I guess for cards it's kind of different, because for shoes we see kind of what, on at least on StockX, we see what the bids are. Like,
right,
this is the highest bid. Mm. It's not accepted, but this is what someone's bidding. So right, it's like, the last sale is 400, but the highest bid now is 150. Like, yeah, if this shoe was really that much in demand, the bid would be higher.
Correct.
Might not have sold, but the bid would be higher, because at least there's somebody out there looking for this or wanting to spend this amount of money for it. But a lot of people just see, like, oh, it sold for $1,000, yeah, 2 years ago. This ain't 2 years ago. Like,
right.
And that's how it is. But I mean, those are rare occasions. And a lot of times people don't just sell one sneaker. They sell 10, they sell 20, they sell 30. So they kind of look at it as like an overall deal. Like, okay, overall, I'm happy. And then we're all happy. But it just comes down to that one or two where it's like, we might see things differently, and I'm okay with passing if we just don't see eye to eye value.
I like that approach you said, because I do feel the same way too about when I've done deals that we're just way too off on a price. You know what I mean? I'm just, yeah, like, and they're like, what do you, and I'm like, bro, like, I'm not here to, like, disrespect. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I, cause,
yeah,
I don't, I would feel like if I felt like this was worth, you know, 500 and you say it's worth, yeah, 200 for whatever reason, I would feel a little, yeah, bit upset about it. And I'm experienced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm also like a jerk sometimes with like some people that I know, like if they want to sell me a card and they, you know, it's $1,000 and in market value, and they're like, yeah, I want 1200, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'll, yeah, pass. I'm like, well, what's your, yeah, offer, Keen? It's like, I offer, yeah, you to sell me my cards for me, because I can't find those prices, yeah, anywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's exactly. I've been doing that same stuff. I'll turn the table on them. Yeah. I'll be like, oh, you wanted me to buy that for 12? I got that same card for you for 11.
Right.
So you could go make some money off me.
Exactly.
Like, go sell it to somebody and make some money off me. And you be straight, right? And then 99% of the time, you know the answer is no.
Do you watch watch YouTube or watch TikTok, like wristwatch, like luxury watch?
I don't even. I mean, I have TikTok. I never open it though. And okay, then YouTube, My kids just control the TV, so I don't get to watch them.
Because I'm like, my YouTube is, I don't really watch sports card YouTube anymore, but I do watch like sneaker YouTube, and I watch luxury watch YouTube. Like, that's okay. A big thing too. Like, people going to, you know, you sneakers have, you know, we have the National Sneakers have Sneaker Con. A luxury watch has a IWJG, you know what I mean? And there's these guys like haggling and negotiating like 30,000 like Rolexes, you know what I mean? It's just super intriguing. I hear all these things that they say and what the sneaker resale say, and it's like, oh, it's like, in my mind, I mean, I know there's different nuances with each thing, but at the end of the day, if we all bring these goods into a trade show, they're all widgets that could be negotiated, so bought for lower and sold for a little bit higher. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So. Yeah. But yeah,
It's all about the percentages. But like, a lot of those dudes out there is trying to maximize their percentages, and that's one thing. Like, I think we've tried to not do is like, let's just stay in this like range. Like, as long as we're buying at this range, like, we're good. And
what do you mean range? Like margins?
Yeah. Like 20% or whatever. Like, as long as if we're making 15 to 25, like, we're good. Like that we don't have to make. There's guys out there trying to make 4. I mean, cars might be different. And different things, watches might be different. Like, I know one of my friends who sells watches, he works on really small percentages, but like, if you buy a watch for 50,000, you flip it for 55, you made $5,000 in an hour, or however long it took you to, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's apples to oranges. Yeah. So, I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, we could definitely take cues from each other, but like, just off years of stuff, it's just like, I just like being straightforward with the pricing. Like, this is where I'm at. Like, and I mean, and customers have to understand we're at the same time doing them a favor of not having to do all that work that goes on behind the scenes. Listing, like, this shoe I bought from you, I might make 20%, 15%, but it might come 30 days later, 45 days later, 60 days later. Like, this shoe's not sold till then. It's like, it's not profit for the store until we actually sell it. And then I don't think a lot of people understand that. They just think like, oh, they just made this money. It's like, no, it's not that simple.
Yeah. And then whatever profit you made on that, there's taxes that got to be paid on that. I don't want to get, I mean, I know they've all heard it, but I don't want to get into complaining, but that's just like the reality of the situation though. You know what I mean? One thing I was gonna ask you about was that, you were talking about giving quotes to the customers. I'm kind of struggling with that too, because I always want to hear people where they're at first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm more on the same like vein as you are, where it's like, you know, I want to hear where they're at. And they said way too low, and I'll come in a little bit higher because that was my true number. You know what I mean? But I do struggle with people sending me like, hey, here's 50 cards or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, will you give me an offer? And I'm just like, in my mind, like, maybe I'm just kind of immature in my thinking, but I'm like, man, I don't want to give you a spreadsheet. And then you take it and be like, oh, hey, can you, like, here's all the comps. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Kings will pay this. Will you pay? Like, have you never struggled with that or like?
I mean, people do it all the time. Because, like, they'll be like, oh, I'm getting a quote from a few other stores. Let me see who's the best. Yeah. And then some people will use it against you. But it's like, you never know, though. Like, I don't know if they're going to come to me. I don't know if they come to me. But I know there's a chance. Mm. And that's what I think about, like, putting your best foot forward. Like, for us, we put our best foot forward right away because that's the first impression. So like, just say like this customer sends their list to like 3 different people, you're at 50, someone's at 45, and someone's at just say 40. But say that 40 person was really going willing to go to 55, but they just wanted to test the waters. Like, I offered 50 out the bat, they're not even going to reply to those other two dudes. Even though those other, they came at 45 and 40, whatever number I said, but they were actually willing to pay more than 50 per se, but they just went with low numbers just to see. Like, those customers are, those guys that did the lower offers are going to get ignored. So, like, you'll gain that business as long as you're, like, straight there. See, for me, like, cards, I think it's harder. I think, honestly, it's harder for you than for shoes. Because shoes, there's only so many models that people deal with. Dunks, this many colorways. You have, I mean, of course, a lot of people don't sell like the 10th man or the 12th man or whatever, but just say there's 5 starters for every NBA team and what, 30 teams, 150 players. You might have 150 players with how many different variations of cards and inserts, and like, there's much more of a nuance to that and like how many things you got to do to make a quote. Like, for us, That's why I say for me it's easy, because it's like it's just shoes. It's like 30 colors, that's like you kind of know. And but you're dealing with a ton of stuff, and you got to do also what works for you. You know, see, another thing that I struggle with too is, even though I put in the time or whatever, but it's like I struggle with, even though over the years it's been a lot of people that waste our time as a store.
Yes.
Like, oh, ask for a quote of 100 pairs, don't sell.
Right.
Ask for a quote of 50 pairs, don't sell. It's right. Like, we're sending out all these quotes of people not selling. But it's just like, mentally, you just have to understand that's part of the business. Mm. But at the same time, it's like, if we're just putting our best foot out there, then 90% of the time, we're going to close a deal. But also, like, I'm not afraid also to hit the block button.
Right.
So, like, if this person I feel is, like, wasting our time multiple times, like, asking for multiple quotes and then not coming in. So, you asked for a quote in January, didn't come in. Asked for another quote, similar quote of the same shoes in February, didn't come in. Asked for another quote in March, didn't come in. You're getting blocked.
Is it blocked, like, or is it just like, hey, like, you know, we'll pass for now? Like, is it a just straight block?
No, I just blocked the email. Okay. I just blocked the email or blocked the screen. Like, it's just like, my time is valuable. And if you have true intentions, then I'm going to put effort into my time. But if it doesn't seem like you have true intentions and you're just asking for the same stuff repetitively over and over, like you said, they're probably asking it to compare and do certain stuff, then not worth my time, not worth my business. I'd rather get it from somebody else. But I think with cards, is like, you just have to find your, there's probably some customers you have that's like super easy to deal with, where you're just like, oh, there's 100 cards, I want 1,000, deal done. Like, because you just kind of look it over, like, glancing. But there might be those people that's like, I want you to get the spreadsheet, I want you to put $2, $5, $15, $18, $20. Like, I mean, it's up to you if you want to do it or not.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, the tedious people, like, we, especially if I was doing cards, like, I don't think I could do it as much. Like, I would be like, let me stick to, like, these are my top sellers that I always deal with. They come, their priority list, they're first or second or third or whatever, until you start building relationships with these people. But I think it's just a growing process of learning what works for you and then what is going to work for the customer. But every customer, every transaction is different. But we'll be straight with customers too, because like, just say you have 20 pairs and you wanted to sell, and then we give you the total, whatever, 2,000. And then you're like, oh, we want individual. They want the individual numbers. I'll send it to them. Like, oh, 100, 150, 50, 200, whatever. But I also put a message in saying, like, hey, if you want to pick and choose, like, say if they're going to be the pick and choose, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm only going to drop these off to Seoul and not these. Like, I'm going to try to give you all my junk. Then I'm going to reply, like, I'm only willing to take all. So, like, then they have the ultimatum of, like, because, like, at the same time, I'm trying to do you a favor by buying your stuff, but don't try to just pick and choose and dump you what you know to be, like, bricks or trash onto me, and that's all you want to do, because I'm not in the business to just deal with the nonsense. Like, I want things that are easy to move too, because that
you
just
got,
helps.
You got
to
win too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That just helps the business, our business flow, because if we have too much stuff that just doesn't move quickly, it just holds up the capital to move on to the next deal.
Yeah. No, as you mentioned that, now I think about it, I think a more apt comparison would be if someone wants to sell me 3 Curry rookie PSA 9s. There's a market for that. Like, I bought one today, it's at $1,200 right now. So, like, I can clearly say I'm going to pay, you know, $950 for it, or like $1,000 or whatever.
But to
the point that you mentioned, when I get, like, someone wants to sell a box full of this stuff and it's all like patches, then it's because, okay, it's a little more nuanced. So,
I mean, for me, if I'm you, I'm just looking at that box, I'm like counting the cards, but you know better than me. But like, if I knew every card in that box was like $3 or something like that, then like, I know I'm going to have to be at like 50 cents a card or whatever, just to move every, like, every single thing. And it's at the same time though, like, even if something is worth like 5 or whatever, like, I can't also count and look through 1,000.
Also, that's cards. Where I got to win. You know what I mean? Like, I get, like, I think I was buying the other day, I bought Everything under, like, I had like 100 slabs. A lot of them were under 20. And I was like, look, everything under 20, I'm going to pay five per. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they're like, damn, but this is worth 20. I'm like, yeah, but this is worth two. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to win. You're going to win on that one. Like, who's going to buy that for five? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll buy it for five. Yeah. I got to win on the 20. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but it's all a learning process, man.
Yeah. But they also don't want to put in the work to, like, say you buy for five and it sells for eight or nine. Like, I mean, with you, it's like you just do it in mass quantity. So it adds up. Correct. It'll add up. But, like, nobody wants to go around nickeling, diming 20 cards.
Yeah.
Oh, here, can I? Like, and they're not going to do that work. But, bro, I mean, they want to get paid like they're doing that work.
Correct.
But it's like, you're not going to go do that work of trying to get $5, $8, like, for every single one of these slabs. Like, and then for you to actually find the buyer that's willing to pay you, like, no. Yeah. It ain't easy.
I guess I want to, like, give a little bit of a, get on my soapbox to talk to the buyers also, or the sellers also. There was a deal that came by the other day. It was for, I want to say it was like for $3,200 worth of stuff. And then, you know, as we talked about, people tend to overvalue what they have. I do too, because that's just human nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I went through everything. I said, brother, it's worth about like $2,800. And then I could pay like whatever, 75% of that. So I could offer you $2,100 right now today for everything. And then he was like, you know, but I could go to Probe Scene and he's going to pay me $85. I said, that comes out to $2,500. Okay, so now full right to do that. If I were you, I would do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's going to take you 4 weeks to get it over there, right? Or, like, sorry, 4 days to get it over there.
Yep.
It's going to be a 7-day auction. And then it's going to run. It's going to end. And maybe, like, you know, like three of them won't get paid and you got to do the whole thing again. So now when it's all said and done, it's taking you a month and a half, 2 months to make that extra $400. Whereas, like, I could have got it for you today. Or if you want to do the full amount and it's like, hey, Probe is going to pay $85, but I can go to a show, find somebody's going to pay $100. Okay, now you got to go to the show and find somebody's going to pay $100 for that. But then, like, now you're left with the other stuff, and then it took you 2 months to move it all, and you made an extra $600. But, like, your boy would have gave you the $2,100 today, and you're wash your hands of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just getting on my high horse because, like, I want people to understand.
Like, sometimes you have to explain it to them like that, though.
Yes, yes.
And because they don't get it. And that, I mean, that's where also where I come in is, like, I don't even want the last word. It's like, I want you to understand what it is we're doing and what it is you don't have to do.
Correct.
Like, it ain't easy, like in the, like they. That's how they see it. But I mean, like I said, they don't see the hard work, they don't see the grind, they don't see what goes on behind the scenes and what has to happen. But I tell you, like that person that just say, I don't know, did he pass it or he sold it?
He I think he went to Probe Scene. He went to go give a shot, which is fine. You know what I mean?
So like, say he does that. And then he goes through that experience, and then same thing, what you said, doesn't happen, doesn't get paid, like, instead of like, or his auction went lower than he thought.
Correct.
He's gonna think twice the next time.
Correct.
Of like,
They got to go through it, though, which is fine, because I never, and there was a point when I didn't go through it, and I had to see, like, there was a point when I wanted $3,000 for my $3,300 curry card. Like, that's just human nature, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But
being in the trenches and seeing it all set, you're like, hunt, bro, like, it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You know how it is. Like, yeah, it, bro.
Go ahead. No,
I was just going to say that it's gotten to the point now, and I'm sure you're there, where it's like, for me, I've sold, I think I just said 53,000 items sold on Whatnot. And then,
that's
like,
more than my eBay.
I mean, granted, I mean, they're like
my feedback. Yeah.
They're like little, you know, little things.
Yeah. But that's 53,000 things you had to pack.
Had to pack, and also, like, I tell them, like, brother, like, I know what the comps say, but trust me, it's not a $20 thing; it's a $12 thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'll pay
$8. Yeah.
And then I even go like, bro, I'll pay you $20 just to show you. Be on the stream the time that I read. That's a $12 card, and sure enough, like, because of ink stain, because of repetition.
Yeah.
The internet says one thing, but I know what it's going to go for because I know my audience and I know how these things go. And it was, sure enough, it was like a $12 thing. I also do it now.
That's why you got to bet them. You'd be like, I'll
bet you done, dude. I'm going to say, man, there's some people I'm like, bro, like, I'm going to buy this from you just so you can see. And I want you to be on there just so you know how much money I lose on this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold it against you next time I see you. You know what I'm saying? But that's because, you know, a lot of these guys, I got good relationships with them. You know what I mean? But yeah, bro. This is like reseller like therapy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're just like, we're like lying down on the psychologist like a chair, just like
you got it. I mean, you got you gotta bounce stories off each other. I mean, like all my fellow guys that own sneaker shops and stuff like that. I mean, we'll talk about what this happened or that happened, et cetera. And it's just because we understand each other.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Not everyone understands us or understands the business that we do. And that's why they don't get it. And that's why they might hate or be like, oh, this is that, or they do this, but they don't understand like the numbers or the experiences that we go through that make us this way or make allow us to run our business this way or why we do things. And which is the one of the coolest things is to share those stories with each other.
No, really, like I think I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast or the one we messed up on, but you're like a very successful businessman. You built at one point a $10 million a year revenue sneaker empire. What advice do you have for people that are out there grinding that see what you do or see what other people do, like in you know, sneaker reselling, whatever? What advice could you give to them to get them onto that next level?
I mean, number one, you have to love what you do if you're going to be like in a business, and you can be successful. I mean, you can be successful and not love what you do, but it won't ultimately lead to happiness, I think. And that's just my personal opinion. But if you love what you do and you just keep on the grind and you don't let anyone stop you, then, I mean, it's just going to keep building. I mean, you're going to have hurdles. Like I said, we're nowhere, I think I said it the first time, but we're nowhere near what we peaked at. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay. I'm content. Like, I don't need to be back at that level, because also with higher levels comes higher stress, mm-hmm. Which isn't always good. And I've gone through the ringers and ups and downs of just trying to manage my own personal, of just working too hard or working too much, and then also losing guys that I've grown up with along the way that used to work with us, but because business has gone down over the years, that they're no longer with us. But I think happiness is number one. And as long as you're happy doing what you're doing, then you just got to keep going. And once you feel that tick of like too much stress or too much pressure, then you have to like kind of slow down and evaluate where you're at and where you want to go. And is it like a monetary thing, or is it just like a personal thing? Like, if you already monetarily got to where you're comfortable and when you're happy, you technically don't need to go any higher. Because at the same time, it's like, what do you want in life? Like, the things I wanted as a 20-year-old is totally different than the things that I want now. Like, as a 20-year-old, I want a Ferrari. I want, I want all those things. Now, it's just, like, I want peace.
Yeah.
Like, I want my kids to be happy. I want my wife to be happy. I want to go on a couple vacations a year. And that's it. Like, I don't need anything technically materialistic. At all. So I think also is like being successful is also knowing where you want to be though too in life. Of just, do you want that house in the hills and that Ferrari and all that stuff, or are you just happy with the single family home and two cars or whatever? Like, you know what I mean? I think knowing where you want to be also helps a lot in your journey.
How many hours a week are you putting in right now?
Right now I go in 4 days a week, probably like 30 overall with
that's crazy.
The weekends.
And you really really shut down after you like the phone's off, like really?
Bro, yeah, that's good. I mean, but there's times where I was doing 60, 70, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's come to that level where we, as a business, as long as we stay here, we know we're okay. Like, I mean, we've gone down a little bit in 2024 compared to 2023. But it's just like, I don't want to work extra hard either. I mean, technically, if I want to work harder, like, we can lose somebody from our staff, or like my partner, I could take his hours. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, we have enough work. Like, if I wanted to work more, it'd be like, I'm taking away from somebody else's work. So like, if I wanted to do that, but it's like, I care about my guys too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and that's what comes into being like the owner or an owner of a business, is like, how much do you want for yourself? How much do you want for your guys? And I mean, it's a tricky situation at times. And I mean, at times it got rough when it's like, there's so many of us, and it's like, we have to have these conversations of like, hey, do any of you guys want to leave? Like, voluntarily, like, leave and move on? Like, or, like, do you guys want to cut hours? Like, what are we going to, like, what do each one of you guys personally want? Because I want to try my best to give you guys what you need and what you want.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, for now, like I said, for you, if you're not feeling any pressure and you're good, like, staying solo has its benefits as well. Because, like you said, you're responsible for every single thing that you do.
Yep.
And that's it. I mean, the only thing I could say for you probably that might take some time off your plate, if that's worth hiring, is just somebody to ship.
Oh, that's the same thing everybody says, man. That's exactly true.
Because if you're just having, because if you're having them ship, they're just ship, like, in their mind, they're just shipping. They're not affecting the business. They're not making a deal that might go bad for you. They're not messing with, like, oh, a $5,000 deal, they should have spent five and they spent 55 or something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? They're not messing up your margins or anything like that. And then that time that you're paying them for shipping, if you could do something with your time those 3 or 4 hours or whatever it takes, then your business can go up exponentially. So, you know, that's one of the things that I'm telling you this. That's your next step.
That is my next step.
Doing things like delegating the work to somebody where then you can delegate your time to something more important.
Correct.
100%. And if you're paying them, just say $25, $20, whatever you want to feel free to pay them to ship. Yeah. If in those 4 hours, if you're doing something that's making you more than $25.
Yep.
The math is simple. It's simple math.
That's crazy. Shout out to my guy. I don't know if you know him, but shout out to I consider him my mentor. His name's Tekken Sports. He's a multi-million-dollar year clothing reseller out of Florida. And he's everything you're saying is everything he's been saying, which is like, if you can find someone, if I could pay someone, $60 for the day or $80 for the day to pack and ship. And on another thing, if I can pay, someone in Brazil to edit my videos, which is another thing that takes like 8 hours, bro. If I could stream 8 hours a day, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, that's where the revenue comes in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, cause I tried to have other people stream for me and it just didn't work. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
cause people aren't there for someone talk to someone else. They're here for someone talk to, Keen or whatever. So I
can stream. You're the brand.
Correct. Yes. For better or worse, that's what I signed up for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, if I could just like stream like 8 hours a day, oh my God, bro, it should be a whole nother level. You know what I mean? But I mean, look, listen.
What you gotta do.
You already know. Like now, you just gave me the motivation to do it. But again, the thing I have to get over is I can't even let somebody else ship for me. Like that's how like I want to. You know what I mean? Like I got five stars of shipping. Everything's packaged correctly, and I'm like, man, I can't even like let that go. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I should. I know I should.
Yeah. That's how I was. I was like that for years. Like it's like if I knew mentally I could handle it, even though it meant I'm doing the majority of the work, I just do it because I was capable of doing it at that time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also on you just to pick the right person.
Right. Yep.
And then also you're their teacher. So like you teach them, this is exactly how I like things packed. I need you to do it this exact same way. It will never have a problem.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, or you give them some incentive where it's like, you keep this rating at the end of the month, you get a bonus.
Damn.
If something happens where it's like you made a mistake, like if it's a monetary mistake or something, then you know, that's on you. You're his owner. You're the boss or whatever. I mean, you're not his owner. You're his boss.
I'm the owner.
Yeah. Then, you know, you're handling it, but you have to let him know, like, hey, this is a mess up. But it's like, if it's one of the things where he's being lazy, where it's like, yo, you're supposed to ship today, but you didn't ship till Thursday, then we have a problem.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, I'm assuming it should all be under your watch because you'll be there. I mean, you help print the labels, and it'll take time, but I mean, I think that's the next step of the evolution for you.
I think so too. Yep. That gave me just even more motivation to finally get it done. Speaking of streaming, should we just talk about what's going to happen this Friday? Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. Well, like,
it's official. Yeah.
Like you. I mean, I could tell you, I don't know if it's like right now I can't save my PayPal on the payout. I don't know what's going on. It's like an error. And I talked to the rep I talked to the rep and she's like, file a ticket or whatever. And she's like, I was like, can I still run it even though everything's not like set up? She's like, I think it should be fine. You
the
know,
funds will just be held we'll, there.
Yeah.
I think it should be fine, bro.
And
yeah,
I'm like, okay.
Locked up.
But long story short, I'm not really a people person. I also don't. I mean, I'm a people person. I'm just not a person that put my face out there on the internet. I just
you're not a social media guy.
I mean, I have done in the past. I do it very seldomly. But trying something new is also something I don't also do a lot of, unless I'm comfortable. So. Whatnot has been reaching out to us for the last couple of years, and we've always been like, nah, we don't need it, Technically, we probably still don't need it, but we want to step out of our comfort zone and try something new. So I talked to my partner Rob, and I was like, hey, let's just try this Whatnot, but I want to try it with my boy King, because he does Whatnot already. He's familiar with the platform. He's sociable, like, it just felt like somebody I could trust, somebody who I'm willing to work with that can just handle it, whether it goes good or bad, like in terms of pricing of the shoes and stuff like that. I'm not saying you are good or bad, but will this generate good stuff for our business, or will it be a flame out or whatever? And let's just test the waters. And you were the person I thought of first when I wanted to test it. And I just, like you said earlier, I sent you a text and I was like, yo, Keen, like, can we do this? And if you're down, great. If you're not down, then no worries, but I just wanted to ask you first before I even proceed with the move. I even told the Whatnot person that I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to ask one of my guys if he's willing to be the streamer for us. And if he says yes, then we'll talk. But if he says no, then I'll get back to you once I find somebody else. And then it kind of went like that. And then, yeah, you just said, cool. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Keen will be streaming for Soul Supremacy on Friday. I think that's the
7 p.m.
starting at 7.
Yep.
We're going to do a couple hundred shoes. We're just going to test it out. If the prices go high, great. If they go low, great. I'm honestly just doing it for the experience.
It's a case study, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And ooh, we're about to get crushed on some shoes, boys. Oh my God, that's how it, I mean, like, look, it's Soul Supremacy and it's me, and no matter who you are, when you unless you're on like MTV, I don't know, unless you're on like TMZ, you're gonna get crushed the first stream. So all I'm saying is, if you want some sneakers, Friday, 7 p.m. is that what we said? No, 8 p.m.
Yeah, 7 p.m.
Friday the 8th. March 8th, 7 p.m. Hop on Soul Supremacy, Whatnot. I'm going to be there. And Derek's going to be probably, like, you'll hear his voice, but you won't see him on camera.
I might pop in, like, little side head peek. Be like, what's up, y'all?
Yeah, so we're going to be running, like, I think 150 shoes or something like that.
I think it's a little bit more. And I think it's right around that number. Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure exactly. I've been adding a couple here and there each day. Okay. I got the list ready. You're the pro, so you're going to teach me. Mm-hmm. How to do all that stuff, and then we'll figure it out. And like
it'll
I said,
be fun.
It
might be the first and the last Soul Supremacy stream on Whatnot. It could be. So you might as well get some steals while you're there, boys.
How many times does it take for you to feel comfortable, like with getting whacked or like?
You know what? Like I had this game at the very beginning that really helped me out. It was called a pick four out of nine. So I'd laid nine cards down on the table, and I'd run an auction, and then whoever won, all right, give me four numbers. So whichever one, you know what I mean? So,
but they don't see what the cards are under that number.
No, they see, they know. So then it becomes a fun game of like the chat's like, oh, I would go with 1, 7, 8 and 2. You know what I mean? I would go with 1, 7, and 5. You're tripping. You know what I mean? And then you almost want to, this is a little bit, I guess, game for some of the card sellers out there that want to try this, but it becomes like a psychological thing of, I want to win just to show people what I would get. You know what I mean? But in that game, what happens is it takes 30 seconds to run that auction, and they pick four of the nine. So technically, I'm burning through inventory very slow, but I'm providing a good experience for people. You know what I mean?
Which is
now I have endless inventory. You see me, not endless, but I have a lot of inventory. Yeah. So you see me, I'm running 5 seconds sudden death. Far cry from 30 seconds, like, you know, pick four. You know what I mean? So,
and then it takes time for them to communicate to you, too, to which four and all that, right?
Correct. Yeah. So then there was a little delay in that, and then people were having fun, and we were building a community. So that was a good way, if people want to try that, to build a community. That's a good way to, because I mean, like, live selling, I feel like, is going to be here to stay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So like, yeah, it's here to stay. So that type of interaction that I just explained, that can't happen on eBay. That can't happen on...
They're actually doing eBay Live now.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
They are, yeah. So, but we talked about it. They're always like a little bit...
Yeah. They're behind because they got too much red tape. It's like, yeah. You got to go through 10 managers' approval to get approved. It's like...
Everybody, bro. But yeah, so like that's something that's very unique that could, you know, build a community. You know how it is, bro. Like for most people... I guess this is more for most people, not for us, but you lose on some, you win on some, but as long as you're green at the end of the month, you know, you live to fight another month. You know what I mean? So like, and not only that, but if you lose on something, that means a buyer won on something. And then that buyer is going to come back next month and the month after that. You know what I mean? Because, yo, I just made like, yo, I just made $50 on Keen's card. Like, yeah, I'm definitely, when's he live again? I'm coming back for sure. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully that's what happens with Soul Supremacy and you guys on the stream. So, you know, keep going.
Yeah, you know we'll see. There's no pressure for me.
Yeah.
We do good. We do bad. But it is what it is.
We just trying new things out. Like you said, getting out of the comfort zone. I love it, man.
Exactly.
But hey, man, shout out to my guy Derek. I appreciate you for hopping on this podcast with me. Any final words? Any parting words with the people?
I don't know.
No.
Keep supporting Keen. Like, just. And support yourself, like lift yourself up, and you know all of us have down times. Even the most successful people have down times. So just keep your head up and keep it moving.
Love it. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you, man.
All right, doggy. I'll text you later.
All right.